Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so we're in the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. PharrellOnTheBench.com is the premier site for picks. Thursday, you got Baylor and West Virginia, Miami and Houston in the pros. Saturday, Florida, Georgia cocktail party. Sunday, Philly, Jacksonville, and London. Sunday night, Saints, Vikings. PharrellOnTheBench.com has everything. NBA plays, NHL, World Series, boxing, MMA, daily fantasy. It's all there. It's cheap. You're going to love it. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Don't forget, a new Pharrell on the Bets episode airs tomorrow on Westwood One, on iTunes, wherever podcasts are available. Follow me at On the Bets, WWO. It's episode 49 tomorrow. It runs Tuesday to Sunday, six shows a week. So let me just bring up this Ray Carruth thing, okay? So I was talking to the boys in the break, and I was like, what do you think? Guy gets out after 20 years, right? 19 years, is that what it was? And, of course, he drew up the plans to have his girlfriend, right, murdered. And she was pregnant. So they killed her, right? And then they had the baby. They delivered the baby. The baby was a boy, and the boy was born with prematurely, very early, and with brain damage, right? Like, so he had cerebral palsy. Is that about accurate? So I saw the kid, and, you know, he's obviously, unfortunately, been through quite a lot. He's 18 years old now, and he's been, you know, pretty, you know, uncomfortable, to say the least. It seems as though he's had a rough life. And now this guy gets out, right? Wasn't he in North Carolina somewhere serving time? And he got out today, and no one could even believe it. Like, when I saw it, I was like, the first thing I thought was, wow, it's been 20 years, whatever, and they're letting this guy out, right? So he got out of prison, and they showed him getting out. And one thing that was weird to me was, like, everyone was hugging him when he was leaving. Like, he was, like, their best friend or something. White guys, black guys, PR people, media, everyone was hugging him. I was like, wow, that's weird. And then he drove off, and that's that. But the audacity of this guy, Carver High, is what bothers you. The audacity of what he said. Somebody interviewed him, and what did he say?
Right. Well, first of all, I think he probably shouldn't ever leave a jail cell. He did his time, whatever, he's getting out. It is what it is.
But you don't think he should have got out?
But for this guy to have the stones to say when he gets out that he feels that he should be, that he should take care of his son, I think is absolutely just
criminal,
disgraceful. Criminal, disgraceful. I'd put him back in jail for saying that. For saying that he thinks that he should be the one. Take the kid away from the grandmother who's been raising the child for 18 years. Take him away from her. He wants to have a relationship with him. I thought I read in one that he wants to, like, wants to have custody of him.
Yeah, he wants to be the boy's guardian.
Yeah,
he wants to be the father.
That's too much for me.
So one thing, did you notice? I don't know if anybody saw this, but like at the beginning of the day, I saw it like on ESPN or whatever, the story. And then after the fact, like let's say...
Well, the story's still there, but they've kind of pushed it off the front page.
Pushed it off the front page? I'm still looking for it. Where did you find it?
You got to really look.
It's doesn't matter.
Because it happened this morning. Other things have happened through the day. So it's been pushed down the docket a little bit.
I still haven't found it. I may be looking all night. I still can't find it. But whatever. Mafia, did you just not say to me that you think he should have never got out?
Of course. I mean, he's lucky they didn't put him down. I mean, it's one, I don't know whether you believe in corporal punishment or not. You know, it's a very hard topic for a lot of people. But, you know, I'm not always eye for an eye on everything. But to arrange the murder of
only
your girlfriend, but her, you know, your unborn child is just unforgivable. You know, this guy even said, I saw quotes, you know, he just wants to be forgiven. And, You know, he wonders, you know, he worries how he's going to be seen like the rest of his life. Exactly how you should be seen. As a murderer, I don't care what you did in the last 20 years in prison. There's some crimes that, you know, it's just wrong place, wrong time. You made a mistake, you know, some of the like involuntary manslaughters, things like that. But to arrange the murder of someone you allegedly love and the child that you created with that person, you should have never gotten out. It's ridiculous. It's an embarrassment. And, I mean, this isn't the case where this guy's like late 60s, early 70s, been in prison his whole life. There's really nothing left of his life. This guy's 40. This guy's still relatively young.
He's 44.
Like, he has the rest of his life still, half his life still ahead of him to be able to get out of jail while this kid's screwed up for the rest of his life, for the entirety of his life, which is probably going to be a short life because of what you did to his mother. It's unforgivable.
Chancellor Lee has been raised by his grandmother, Sandra Adams, in Charlotte. He broke a 17-year silence when he wrote a letter to a TV station in Charlotte, apologized to Sandra for the death of her daughter. He asked whether he could have the responsibility of permanent custody for Chancellor after his grandmother dies. Carruth later wrote a letter making it clear he'll no longer be pursuing a relationship with Chancellor and Mrs. Adams. I promised to leave them be, which now I see is in everyone's best interest. So he is saying now that he's not going to bother them.
So he's changing his mind on that.
He's changed his mind. When I revisit this moment, you just hope that Chancellor, you're thankful he's around. That's what our boy Frank Garcia said. His grandmother is the saint for raising him. She even tried to forgive Ray for Chancellor. She and he, two individuals, are what this story should be about. Unfortunately, it's going to be about the guy that did a heinous crime. He's not doing interviews. Carruth will not do interviews, allegedly. And the GM, Marty Herney, in his second year with the franchise in 99, had to testify for the defense during the trial. He and the other officials have declined to comment for the story. They said many people believe it was the most significant thing that ever happened in the Panthers' history. Way more significant, believe it or not, people are saying, than the sexual harassment problems that they've had recently when Richardson had to sell the team to Tepper. And, of course, for better or worse, the mood across the city was excitement. I know it's hard to say, but Charlotte always wanted to be a damn world-class city. All of a sudden, we had a world-class trial going on. That was by far the worst. This is a big-time city now. There's going to be big-time things happen that'll be publicized. Unfortunately, it was a negative way of putting the city on the map. The Carruth fled Charlotte after Adams died on December 14th of 99 and was found in Western Tennessee hiding in the trunk of a friend's car a day after he failed to surrender on murder charges in Charlotte. Anyway, has he been in touch with current or former Panthers? I got a friend request from him. Berline said I had to see what he wanted, so I accepted. It was, hey, Steve, something along the lines of, I don't know if you remember me. I was I remember you for sure. How's it going? He said something along the lines, it's been a tough deal, obviously, but I'm looking forward to getting out in a couple of years. Your name came up, and I wanted to reach out to see how you're doing. I never heard back from him again, but it was one of the most bizarre friend requests that I've had, according to Berline.
I don't know if you remember me. He said that to Berline. Yeah. I don't know if you remember me.
Did he get paid millions by the Panthers or the NFL while in jail? No. The organization with the NFL quickly put Carruth on leave of absence without pay and called it a legal matter moving forward. They used a morals clause in his contract as reason for separating from the player. He apparently was a janitor and a barber in prison. He was making $1 a day. And it's just crazy. That was the craziest thing ever. Do you remember that, how crazy that story was? That guy did that?
I do remember.
Conspiracy to commit murder of his pregnant girlfriend, Sharika Adams. Remember her? How crazy was that? November 16th, when the plot to kill Adams and her unborn child unfolded on a two-lane road in a posh Charlotte neighborhood. She was shot multiple times by this guy, Watkins, who was hired by Carruth. Watkins was sentenced to 40 years. Wow. The kid's got brain damage, cerebral palsy, everything else. It's just a crazy story, isn't it? It's absolutely insane. Andy in Arkansas, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Good evening, Pharrell. Can I get a bourbon with a splash of soda, please?
Yes. There you go.
There we go. I was living in Charlotte at the time that went down.
Mm-hmm.
It was insanity. He hired a couple henchmen drug addicts to do what happened, which is horrible. You know, plus at the time, the Charlotte Hornets were, it was just like every day in the police blotter, a Hornet or a Panther. Hornet, Panther, Hornet, back and forth, was what went on with that. And also at that time, Bobby Fields, the basketball player, after they left practice one day, you know, they're feeding down the road, and he died also. I mean, it was just at that time, you could not keep any of those people out of the paper
right.
with what happened. And Caruth, the lady that died, which she was a stripper, which I'm not saying that's a bad thing or anything, but she was a stripper. He had baby mamas all over the place. I mean, it was just a very
well. And then what's weird? What's weird is that it's just as bad now. I mean, they've got, you know, they had an owner that was like basically he was a perpetual sexual harasser, right? According to all these women, he was the workplace there was just an absolute. It was a brothel. I mean, they were literally, these women were getting just abused mentally by this owner of this football team. The workplace atmosphere at that place was a disaster, right? Like, no one can deny it. The guy's gone now, right? I mean, Richardson had to sell the team. That's how bad it was. So look at their history. I hate to say it, but it's true, right? Like, the history of the team, they've had this Ray Caruth thing, and then 20 years go by, and nothing will ever compare to Caruth, right? But the owner of the team, what's the difference? Well, one of them committed a crime, a conspiracy to hire people to hit his girlfriend, kill her. And then the other one was just a creep and a freak. And one's the white-collar billionaire owner of the franchise. The other one's just a player that wanted to kill his girlfriend. Can you even believe these stories? I mean, they're just outrageous. Fast forward 20 years, it's no better now, right? Now, all of a sudden, everybody's, like, washed their hands of it. It's fine. They got a new owner, so let's forget about it. They've had two of the worst things that you can imagine happen to the football organization. Think about it. I mean, I hate to say it, but it is what it is. So I got nothing against Charlotte at all. I mean, it's not my fault that this happened today. They let the guy out today, and... But at the same time, like, listen, I'm not going to deny what he did was heinous. I'm never going to say that. But at some point or another, you know, I know that he didn't kill her, right? So he conspired to have her killed, correct? So he got half the time the other guy that killed her got 40, right? Full maximum sentence, 40 years. And he got 20. And the guy did his 20 years, right? So... does anyone have a problem with that? Like, that the guy actually, you know, got out, or that he did his 20 years and just, you know, ate it, and, you know, he tried to get her killed. There's no denying he's an idiot and an evil human being. There's no denying that, right? Like, someone that does that to their pregnant girlfriend carrying your child, you do that, you're evil. There's just no getting around it, right? But do you feel at any point or another that the guy, you know, did it, got busted, got caught, got convicted, and got 20, and then did his time, and he's entitled to get out? Like, we've heard Carver High and Mafia, one of them said we should have put him to death, and the other one said he should never get out. Now, I have a feeling that, I mean, my thing is that, I hate to say it, but he did it, but then they gave him, like, the judge gave him 20 years, and he did his time. He should be able to get out. I don't care what anybody says. The guy should get out. That's it. Because the judge, blame the judge. The judge let him go for 20 years. That was it. Maximum sentence, 20 years. He did it. You got nothing on this guy now, as far as I'm concerned, other than the whole world hates him. Everyone in Charlotte hates him. I'm surprised that grandmother doesn't hate him. And I'm surprised the kid doesn't hate him. But the kid doesn't know any better. And all I know is the guy did his 20. What else can you do to him other than, you know, you see him, call him a murderer, whatever you want to call him. He did his 20, and that's the judge gave him the 20. Blame him. He should have. If you didn't think the guy should ever get out of jail, he should have gotten life.
I agree with you, but he did what he was given. That's it. It's over. Nothing anybody could do about it now. I have a bigger problem with what he had originally said
right.
about the kid, but it sounds like today he backtracked off that a little bit.
He backtracked.
So at least he did that.
He knows that's not happening.
Oh, he should know.
But, you know, I don't. listen, do you blame the guy that, like, when the grandma dies, she's old, that, you know, she's not that old, but when she dies or what have you, we all know what happens in life. Who's going to take care of the kid? Because he can't live on his own. He's a mess, right? So, but I don't think he should be the one at all.
Not him.
It's got to be someone else in her family, right? It's got to be someone else. 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So you saw Eric Reed for the Panthers in the middle of their, at the beginning of their game. You know, wasn't it like, you know, when was that fight? Was it like at halftime? Was it in the game or was it pregame on the
pre-game
field?
Wasn't like right before the coin toss?
Is that right? Where he started up with him? And I got to tell you, he was involved. Do you know, Carver, was that in a pregame that he started up with, when the Malcolm Jenkins-Reed confrontation?
I believe that was in the pregame, before the game. When they were out on the field, you know, stretching, doing all that stuff.
He had to be held back by his teammates, at the very least, during the coin toss. And a group of Eagles were also in on it as well. And everybody knows that afterwards, apparently, that Kaepernick
tweeted that I'm with Eric Reed.
I'm with Eric Reed. It looked like Reed had a game-winning interception, but he dropped it, and then the Panthers still won the game. And then, of course, he said that Jenkins is a sellout. And
something to the effect of that he, when all this stuff started, he eventually then started working with the league. On some charitable things, correct?
So he started a players' coalition, convinced the NFL to donate millions of dollars to social justice causes. Reed referred to it as an NFL-funded subversion group. And then Kaepernick stood by what he said. I don't know exactly what his tweet said, but those two together, you know, honestly, that's why... You know, you got all the accusations of collusion, that the NFL team's owners colluded against those two to keep them from getting work. In other words, jobs. In other words, playing on a team, getting paid to play in the NFL, right? They kept them from getting a job. And then finally, the guy Reed gets a job. You can't deny that Eric Reed's a good football player, right? He's a really good football player.
Really good football player.
Did you feel at any point, did you watch the game, did you feel at any point he was involved in any shenanigans, like some late hits and stuff? Did you think he was sticking his helmet in on some like cheap shots and stuff?
I did not.
Because I did. He was playing dirty. And then, but that's the way he plays. He's a very physical guy. I don't think he actually... was dirty. I just think that it appeared that he was, right? You know what I mean? Like, he was in on a lot of hits, and he puts his helmet down. He means business. You go up against that guy, you're going to get hit. He was always a great player, but no one wants anything to do with him because of what he did, you know, with Kaepernick, and then now he's doing it again. Like, the guy, I got to tell you, it's like he refuses to learn what the lesson is here, and there is a lesson to be learned. They don't want him doing this stuff. That's why he couldn't get a job, right? And then you come out and you start doing it immediately. I mean, had a job for 2 weeks? And now he's going at it. It was like he planned it. You can't deny that he planned to go after Malcolm Jenkins yesterday. That was in his repertoire. That was part of the the game day plan, if you ask me.
It might have been. But it's not. It's obviously a little bit different than what the real reason why nobody was hiring him is the during the anthem stuff. That's the real
right
reason why he wasn't getting the job. I mean, this what went on Sunday,
because he's a protester,
right?
He's an activist,
right? But this wasn't protest. This was a pregame skirmish that
right.
he was involved in.
But my point is, it was premeditated.
Right.
I
oh,
believe.
No doubt. You think he drove to the stadium yesterday morning saying, "I'm taking it up with this guy."
That's exactly what he did.
I'm saying something to him about what he's done.
That's exactly what he did.
But that's fine, and I get that. And
he has every right to say something to him. I just think that the arena was not the place to say it. But apparently he felt otherwise. Like, you know, at the game, in the game, pregame, before the coin toss, he's going at it with him. And it was a giant distraction, if you ask me, for the football game and for the Panthers. And I did not believe that it looked good for him or the football team, who's had enough problems. Have they had enough problems lately, the Panthers, with their front office, ownership, and then that happens? Honestly, it just looked bad. And then I'll give them this. They won the game. That's all that matters. Because you can say whatever you want about the Carolina Panthers. They won the game. That's all that matters. They won. Because I guarantee you Cam Newton doesn't care about Eric Reed's, you know, activism. In my opinion, I think Cam Newton really, to be honest with you, I actually think he is a good teammate. And I think he is a great quarterback. I really do. And I think that he doesn't, frankly, need that. If you ask me, he looks like he wants no part of that. Like, you can have that. I don't think he's out there trying to change the world or anything. I actually believe that that guy's just trying to win football games. And I keep telling you, every week, that guy's got the football in his hands with a chance to win. Have you not noticed that? He played in the Super Bowl, right? And then everybody said he was overrated and everything else, right? And that he was this great college quarterback that won a title, but that he's overrated. He got lucky to go play in a Super Bowl, right? I don't think that's the case at all. That year, they were special, right? What, they win 15 games? Because of him and the defense. And now they have, again, another dangerous team because he's the quarterback. There's no doubt they're dangerous. That is a playoff team, if you ask me. They are a dangerous team because every week you play them, you got to deal with that guy. Did you see him yesterday leading the block on one of those plays, on one of those reverses where he ran downfield? Was it for McCaffrey? And he was blocking for him? Do you see how big that guy is? When he's running with a full head of steam, you don't want any part of him. And I just think he's a badass. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's just all there is to it. He's always in it. I don't think he's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen in my life, but I think he's damn good. In this league now, today, when you stack up all the quarterbacks in the NFL, he's one of the best. I don't care what anybody says. He's in every game. When you got that guy on the football field and his arm's healthy and he's healthy, which is for the most part what he is, he's fairly healthy. He's taken a million shots, this guy. He's had his bell rung. He's had everything. But you got to admit, when he's somewhat healthy, he is dangerous. The Eagles found that out yesterday. But I can't believe that. You know, we talked about this. I know you don't like hearing it, but who cares what you think? Your team was up 17-0, and they're the Super Bowl chumps. They are soft. You're up 17-0 at home. You can't even defend it. And that the reason they lost is because of that guy. That's it. There's no other two ways around. And who did he throw to? Olsen, the guy with the broken foot. Even their tight end with a broken foot's making plays. Funchess is making plays. McCaffrey's making plays. What did you think when you sat there and watched that guy when it was 17-7? Did you start worrying?
Yeah, I did, because I thought it should have been more than 17-0. And I hate when people do this, but I'm one of them. I didn't like the play calling. And I mean, look, the Eagles didn't deserve to win. The Panthers deserved to win. I'm not one of these guys that says my team blew it. You got to credit the other guys. And the Panthers played better in the fourth quarter, and the Eagles outplayed them for three, and it wasn't enough. The Panthers were better in the fourth. They deserved to win it, but it made me sick, and I'm still angry about it.
Do you think that they'll rebound and beat that losing Jaguar team that's got nothing but problems right now?
I don't know, because, I mean, they're obviously a lot better than they've played and that they've showed, and they're a team that had title aspirations as well. So they're also used to going to London every year, so part of me thinks that could be an issue as well. I read something that I remember last year Jacksonville blew out whoever they played. Miami, maybe, and I think Miami came in hot. And they're always good in London for some reason. Bortles, you know, London Bortles is a lot different than Jacksonville Bortles. So I don't know what to expect, because I've expected the Eagles to rebound after they lost to Tennessee, then they lost to the Vikings.
I bet he wants to move to London, Blake Bortles, the treatment he gets here.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
He gets abused.
Well, he deserves quite a bit of it.
But they believe in him, and he continues to let them down. We'll talk more about that game and about Bortles if you think that his days are numbered in the NFL, because it's starting to smell like that in Jacksonville.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
The toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Warriors up 21 on the Suns at Oracle with 2 minutes left. And the Spurs are up 3 on the Lakers at the line with 5:16 to go, now up 4. So the Lakers in trouble again at home. Josh in Atlanta, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, Pirelli? Shake-a-do.
Oh, shake-a-do.
Hey, listen, brother, I usually call in about sports stuff, but the Ray Caruth thing just kind of moves me a little bit because, you know, you think about why the guy was sent to prison, right? I mean, he pulled his car in front of the lady's car, Miss Adams, and had somebody else come up beside her, shot her, killed her, and the child that is still alive was inside of her for 70 minutes without breath. So he now has cerebral palsy. And this is absolute insanity, you know? I mean, I believe in forgiveness, and the grandmother has given this guy forgiveness and whatever, but this story is about the child. And he wrote some damn letter out of prison trying to say that he needs to see his child even though that he wanted him killed.
Right.
Ray Caruth is a loser, and I agree with Mafia and Carver. Put this guy down.
Yeah, that's not happening, okay? So let's just calm down with all the let's kill him stuff because you're basing it, fair enough, that's fine, that's your opinion, and you're entitled to that, but you're not telling the whole story. We just told you the whole story, that he even rescinded those advances. He doesn't want to be the father of the kid in his life. He doesn't want to interfere with the grandma. He's not going to bother him. He's not going to approach him. He's not going to harass him. He's not going to be the kid's father, and it sounds like ever. So, and he doesn't deserve it. We've established that. But again, I understand anyone's opinion on this guy being nothing short of you know, horrible, that he's a horrible, despicable human being and everything else. But, I mean, I hate to say it, but at some point or another, I believe that, you know, the guy was given 20 years by a court, by a judge, by a jury, and that's just all there is to it. That's the sentence. He did it. He served his time. At some point or another, somebody deserves the ability to, you know, get their life straight and, you know, turn their life around. And just because you're in prison, I know everyone thinks that anyone that goes to prison is for life is a horrible, you know, worthless person. And I just don't believe that, right? I just think that, you know, some people have to go to prison and serve time for crimes. And then at some point or another, do you learn a way ever to get better? I mean, in other words, can you change? Can you turn your life around? Can you not be the murder-planning individual that you were? He put a hit on his girlfriend, and they killed her. That's it. It is heinous. It is awful. And, I mean, if it was so bad, they would have given him life, right? If it was so bad, because they, you know, he didn't do it. He just planned it, right? And he helped execute it, but he didn't execute her, right? Someone else did. So he got what he got, and he served his time. And I think at some point or another, you have to believe that someone could actually heal or change or get help or, you know, get treatment or, you know, go to meetings, go to therapy, you know, whether you believe this or not, find religion or God or someone to forgive them and that they would change as an individual. Now, I think most people would say that a murderer or someone that plans a murder is you know, unfixable, if you will. Is that a phrase for it? That you could never turn this type of individual around. And I don't think that's the case. That I think if you look at it, there's a lot of people that, believe it or not, go to prison and they spend 20 years and they actually, and you won't believe this, but they come out a better person. That they're actually that it helped them. You know, you always hear these people bragging about this, right? These prison people, corrections, right? That they are trying to turn these people's lives around, giving them somewhat of some kind of form of education when they're in there, right? A schooling, therapy, GED, whatever, and, you know, counseling and doctors and whoever else, mental health people, of this nature, right? That they're in there trying to turn these people around, right? That they're not just rotting there. They're actually trying to make them, you know, everyday citizens when they get out, that they can function in society. Now, we know the stories of that they go back, right? That they get out and they get in trouble and they go back, right? It doesn't take much to get them to go back to prison, that they're going to end up back where they started. Do you believe that, Carver Hyde, that the guy will end up back in prison? Do you think Ray Carruth will have learned his lesson or that he'll go back?
I have no idea. I you know, there's no way to tell that. I have, you know, you got to be there. He said, they all say the right things when you come out after being in prison for 20 years, that he's rehabilitated and he's the nicest guy in there and everybody, you know what?
Do you think
anyone? Don't know until you get out.
Do you think someone could turn their life around from what they did to who they are today?
Absolutely.
20 years later.
Sure.
There's a chance.
Sure.
Okay.
People have done it.
I think that that's, you know, at some point or another has to be given, someone has to be afforded that opportunity. Like, if you go to prison for 20 years and you serve your time and you go through all this therapy and everything else and doctors and counseling and meetings and everything else, who's to say you can't get something out of it and turn your life around? Who's to say that guy couldn't be saved or changed?
I agree with you.
I think if you serve your 20 years and you go through that whole process, I'm sorry, I hate to say it. I don't know if it's every case that I'm going to say that the person is like, I never thought Charles Manson should get out. Fair enough. And they didn't let him, did they? So there's a lot of, it depends on who it is, but who are you going to blame for letting him out? Him? You're going to blame Ray Carruth for getting out after sitting there for 20 years? You know, blame the jury, blame the judge. You know what I mean? It's that simple, if you ask me. I don't think there's anything really to it. He did his time. Move on. Get over it. Well, you know what? Most people, just so you know, you're never going to have anything to do with a guy as long as you live. It's just your opinion of him is that he's mud, right? So you want nothing to do with him. Well, you're not going to have anything to do with him. So, you know, just tell everyone how much you hate him and see what that gets you, which is nothing. No one's going to care what you think. Or me. Or anyone else. No one cares what you think. Mafia, me, Carver, no one. I guarantee you, Ray Carruth doesn't care what you think. He just sat in prison for 20 years. He doesn't care what anybody thinks. He's out now. You lose. So if you didn't like it, you should have never let him get 20 years and a parole. Okay? So he's out now. You lose. That's what that's called. Nick in Boston.
Hey, Scooty. What's up?
Hey.
How you doing?
What's up, man?
Can we get a cold shot of Fireball tonight?
Can we get him a little Fireball?
So? Scooter, I want to talk about the World Series and how I think this cold weather is going to affect both Dodgers and probably David Price at this point. Because I think he's going to have trouble. And if he has to pitch in game two, it's going to be 30 degrees. That's going to be a problem for him.
Why? I mean, you know, didn't he just get you in there with, like, the game of his life? Was that not good enough for you? Now you guys are already, let me just ask you this question. You're already riding him out of it's already a loss that's already been scratched up as a loss game two there?
No, but it has been a problem for him in the past. He's already talked about, you know, his fingers are tingling in cold weather and all this stuff. And I'm just worried about that. In game two, it might be a problem.
Well, you might be right. If he's cried about cold weather in the past, then you know what they should do? Trade him. Trade him. Get rid of him if he's such a wussy. That he can't pitch in a World Series game, too. You know what? Get him a little heater in the dugout. He can sit there and blow dry his hands for in between innings and warm up. That's, you know, get him a heater. Get him heating gloves. Get him something. I mean, if he's that much of a wussy. I mean, honestly. I'll tell you what. I think it's going to be an advantage for the Red Sox and a disadvantage for the Dodgers. The Dodgers play in, you know, 80-degree weather every day, and then a couple months a year to get, you know, 90, 100. Last year, like we said, the World Series had a 100-degree, you know, game in it. So they don't know anything about, in my opinion, playing in games. I'd love to see their record in games under 40. I'd love to see their record in games under 45. Because to me, 50 degrees isn't cold. Everyone will say it's cold. To them, it's freezing. If you're, like I said this earlier in the show, if you're from L.A. and you're standing outside and it's 50 degrees and you're playing a baseball game, you're cold. if you're from L.A. and you got thin blood. That's what it is. When you live in the West Coast and it's beautiful every day, you got thin blood. When you live out here in New York and in Boston and, you know, you deal with this freezing cold for 8 months, 9 months a year, it doesn't faze you, right? 50 degrees to you is a tailgate party waiting to happen, right? 50 degrees is let's play football out in the backyard with all of our buddies. 50 degrees to me is, awesome. Sweatshirt, let's go. But to people from L.A., you're freezing ass. Like somebody in Miami, 50 degrees to them, they're freezing ass. Trust me. Everyone down in South Florida, when it's 50 or 40 degrees, they are miserable. They can't even they're afraid to get out, leave their house and get in their car. It's so cold. I think the Dodgers are going to struggle with it more than the Red Sox. To me, the Red Sox play in it in April and May, and then they're playing in it in October. It's no big deal. It's the fall classic. To the Dodgers, this is like going to Siberia to play baseball. So I don't think Kershaw is going to be great in the cold weather and rain. We'll see, though, won't we?
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.